That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new 500 Clipcast. I'm depressed Chris Wild, and with me, as always, is the Jaguar.
Mike Jaguar. Well, Chris, not where we expected to be at this point, right?
You know, if the playoffs were tomorrow, guess who we would play, Jag?
The golf course.
The Warriors, my friend. Oh. 8-1. We would be up against the Warriors in an epic first round rematch grudge match. But here's the thing. Doc, because he is a great leader, arranged it so that there's 70 more games and the playoffs are 5 months away. Everybody needs to calm down.
Yeah, it's not what we expected at this juncture of the season. But, you know, that is the silver lining. There are 70 more games left. And how many of them do we have? We have a little home stand here, right?
7 of the next 8 at home, and we're 5-2 at home. So hopefully we can continue being 5-2 at home, which will put us over 500. Jag, correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is the worst start Doc's had as a Clipper coach.
That is correct. And, you know, again, coming off that Golden State loss, you thought, again, that they would bounce back in Portland. But you give a young team momentum and let Damian Lillard do Damian Lillard things, and they found a way. And now you have to play host to the Toronto Raptors, who are one of the best teams in the East, probably roster wise at least. And it's that wonky 12:30 start.
Well, the big problem is closing. We can't seem to close games. Now, obviously, we closed 6 games out in 1, but 6 games we didn't. I think the main problem is the rotations. That's what everybody keeps saying. Rotations, rotations, rotation is everything.
Rotation is everything. I mean, I guess the one thing to take out of the loss of Portland is Lance was back in the starting lineup after basically not playing for 2 games. And, we need to see more Lance Stephenson out there. We need to see more Wesley Johnson out there. You brought these guys in to make a difference and to alleviate some of that, you know, pain from the first unit playing all those minutes as they did last year. So I'm just interested to see what happens. You know, this Toronto game is huge. Then they go to Denver and then come back home to the Jazz. So, I mean, these next 3 games are not exactly Cupcake City. You have to man up and, find a way.
I like that Lob City is not Cupcake City, Jag. Yeah, I mean, look, we got to right the ship. The new car smell doesn't stink, but it really smells mediocre or average. We're 6-6. We're playing 500 ball. This is the most new faces Doc has had to deal with, I guess.
If you look at it, they were 4-0 and going into that Warrior game. And what, they're basically like 6 games behind the Warriors now?
Yeah,
or
no.
7 games behind the Warriors.
They started
now?
The season 4-0, and now they went 2-6. I saw a funny tweet. Instead of straight out of Compton, they put Doc's face and put straight out of excuses. I mean, it's still really early, right?
Yeah, it is. It's important for this team to man up. I mean, closing games is something that you need to do if you want to be a championship team. Does this team, want to be, the Spurs or the Warriors, or do they just want to be, good enough? I mean, you saw Houston and, we talked about, Kevin McHale go, and they made a change. Will the Clippers make a change if these murky waters continue? I mean, I don't know what they can do. I mean, I think the first change is, start using these rotations more.
I agree, Jag. Something's got to give. Something has got to give in the NBA. This is the stuff that players-only meetings were made of. And I don't think our team is filled with James Hardens and Dwight Howards who are going to get Frankenstein's monsters fired like they did over in Houston. But this team slips under 500 and they are in big, big trouble. Now, 7 out of the next 8 are at home. We're great at home. Let's see if we can right the ship.
I mean, that's all they can really do. And again, you don't play the Warriors again until February, so you have, time to build on that.
No, but San Antonio is out there lurking, Jack.
Well, yeah, we have a San Antonio-Houston back-to-back. So, I mean, I think I said this before. They're two times they play at San Antonio at Houston this year. They play them on back-to-backs against each other.
We match up well against San Antonio. I'm very anxious to see and excited to see how we look against San Antonio. And obviously, I love fighting against Houston.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, too, you know, with OKC, you know, dealing with the Durant injury, they've kind of fallen off on some games, too. So it's not just the Clippers. It's just that the Warriors are basically at mile 8 and everyone's at mile 2. So, you know, that's the big issue. You know, again, closing and execution, the ball movement, it hasn't been crisp at all. Getting J.J. Redick back was big, but, you know, their execution, I don't know why they're not running more the two-man game with Blake and Chris. I don't know why they're not popping with Pierce more. I don't know what's going on, but they've got to figure it out.
They got to figure it out and quick.
We had the champs up against the ropes twice.
Again. You don't get that many opportunities
to knock them out.
Yes.
We got to do whatever that blonde girl is who kicked Ronda Rousey right in the neck.
Yeah.
Knocked her unconscious.
You got to give her a Buster Douglas.
Then you got to jump on top and do those quick face punches. I don't know anything about
MMA.
Ultimate fighting.
You're not an MMA guy.
I just called it UFC. That's how little I know about it.
See, there's multiple leagues.
I don't care.
And that will be our next podcast.
I only care about the Clippers, and we blew it. It was brutal. It was heartbreaking. We had them, man. We're up
23
by...
23-point lead. 23-point
yeah, 23
lead.
23-point lead.
Led basically the entire
game. The Warriors led the game only in the very beginning and at the very end when it counted. It was just absolutely brutal. We don't want to be playing 500 basketball and getting that clump of 500 teams in the West.
No, I mean, again, there are no moral victories. This is the second time you have blown a double-digit lead to the champs within a month.
Right.
And this is something that needs to be corrected. The execution at the end of the games still has not been solved. I've
got a fix.
What's your your theory?
My theory is I don't like, and I'm sorry, fans, you may disagree with me, but I don't like Paul Pierce and Jamal Crawford on defense late.
I totally agree.
Because you got to trust
that
Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are going to give you that offense. But I think Paul Pierce and Jamal Crawford are liabilities on defense, and it's costing us late. I'm not crazy about those guys in late rotations. I'd rather see Josh Smith out there. I'd rather see Wesley Johnson
out there.
And
Josh Smith played a really good game. Josh Smith does a lot of things for this team.
Dirty work.
That goes unnoticed. He does. And he hit a couple clutch threes. He blocked some shots. He's all over the place. He knows where the ball is.
I mean, we were up 10 super late.
Super late.
Yeah.
And they went on a 14-3 run.
Oof.
And that was it.
They meaning the champs.
It felt, did it feel
the bad guys beat
similar
the good guys
to the Houston game?
Yes.
To a certain, but later in the game. It was like with the Houston game, it was, things are going bad early in the fourth, and then they took control in the middle of the game. This was just like... Whoosh.
But in the Houston game, Jag, we weren't up by 73 or whatever it was. I mean, we were up by 23.
Dude, we were up by 23 in the Houston
game. Oh, really?
Yeah, but that just collapsed right away. I mean, this was a 10-point game. Like...
We were up at the end of one. We were up at the end of two. We were up at the end of three.
It felt that
we weren't like that versus Houston.
No, no. And we were cremating them. But this was they would throw a punch, the Clips would come back.
Right.
They would throw a punch, Clips would come back. And once it got to that 10-pointer area, then assignments started getting screwed up on the defensive end.
Right.
The ball found the open man, and the open man hit the open three.
And you know I love to blame the refs. It's one of my favorite things to do. The refs really, really put it on themselves to get the Warriors back in the game, and it worked. Those crazy tees. I don't know what Doc said to that ref from a long distance to get a tee.
Yeah, and the thing that really stinks is, again, hats off to Steph Curry. Another 30-point, you know, performance for him. But Chris Paul really showed a gutsy effort. Off of the groin
Incredible.
Injury. I mean, it was questioned
18,
if he was going to play.
18 points in the first quarter. At one point, Chris Paul had 18 points, and the Warriors had 16.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that was, we were up 20. We were just crushing them.
Now, I mean, with these rotations, like, again, no sign of Lance Stephenson.
Now, Lance Stephenson, let's talk about it. He may have been born ready, but he is in some hot water.
We don't know exactly what, but this is a game that you would use Born Ready.
Absolutely.
You know, this is a
for
game
for his defensive prowess.
Yeah. So again, the
and his speed. Those guys are fast, the Warriors.
I know, and they're quick to the ball. They just find that open area, and next thing you know,
I really liked Austin Rivers' defense on Curry and Thompson tonight.
Mm-hmm. No, it was
obviously you're not going to play him late.
Austin Rivers is a really, really underrated defender, and
Paul
really
Pierce and
a lot.
Jamal Crawford are in there for veteran clutchness,
and they did answer. There was a point that Pierce hit a big three,
right.
Gave him a little cushion.
Three.
Jamal gave him the lead back,
right?
And
but
then
it's their liabilities on defense late.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to be in there scoring multiple baskets late, then we
offense for defense.
We need to swap those guys.
You got to play offense for defense. Yeah. And again, we're not telling Doc how to coach the team. We're just saying it the way it is.
Opportunities. These are options. These are what we think.
Yeah.
What do we know?
What do we know? We know nothing.
Hey,
we're fan porters.
But you.
We do know something.
Need a pick-me-up, fans, because that was a brutal loss versus the champs. But you're a little blue. You're dragging your heels. You're upset. You turn that frown upside down because there's no clowning around when Jaglen interviews the truth.
And remember last time.
Popping with Paul.
Yeah.
Paul pops.
Yeah.
Terrible. He didn't like it.
Now let's see.
Now let's see what he thinks when Jag asks him some cheeky questions.
So you can sign off on speaking the truth?
I mean, that's cool, man.
It's better than partying with Paul, right?
Yeah, man. You know what? I'm not really into like the real, you know, clown around type interviews before the games.
What's the key to beat the champs?
I think the key is, you know, you got to find a way to slow down Curry, man. You know, he's playing on an outworldly level. You got to find a way to slow him down. I mean, I think that's number one. You know, other guys around them, they feel their role quite nicely. But I think the number one thing is you got to make it tougher on them. It's looked like it's been too easy for them.
Your team in Boston, the year after you won a title, you guys were rolling. And what is that sense of confidence that a team has?
I mean, when you feel like you're on top of the mountain, you just feel invincible, man. Especially when you win a championship, you feel like nobody can beat you. You know, you're confident each and every night. No team that gets up on you, you feel like you can't beat, no matter, you know, you always find ways to win. It's just that it's just an ultimate confidence when you're a champ. It's just that you don't feel like you can ever lose. And then the games you do lose, you just like feel like you beat yourself.
I know there's no moral victories in, you know, that loss you guys had up in Oakland. But what can you take from that? Is it coming back
the way you guys did?
Well, you know what? Just every game is played out different. You know, when you play a team close one time, doesn't mean you're going to play them close the next time or even beat them. You know, I think you just got to take away some key little things you did defensively, slowing them down. And it's, I think for us, it's about being consistent with those key things. And for 48 minutes, you know, we play in spurts. And so we can continue to, you know, just stay with our defensive philosophy for 48 minutes with them because they play 48 minutes every night. So that's something we're still learning to do.
Paul Pierce's pointers pregame really rang true because the champs played with that swagger, and had they lost the game, they would have thought, you know, they lost against themselves, when really they just showed that championship prowess and swagger, just like Paul Pierce talked about that he had when he won the championship with Doc and Boston, and we saw it firsthand versus those Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, they just kept on fighting and fighting.
They never
and
gave
fighting.
Up.
Yeah. And they're trying to break the Houston Rockets record from 1993 and get to that elusive mark. But
what is that elusive mark, Jag? Do you know?
16-0.
16-0. No, they have to. If they get 16-0, does it tie it?
That's
or does it,
it
break it? Okay.
That's it, yeah.
So if they get 17-0, they break it? Or 16-0?
16-0.
Okay. And so 15-0 is Houston.
Yes.
Woof. Well, I thought unlucky 15. 13.
Yep. So
I
they got to get to 16.
Unlucky 13 was going to be the unlucky one for them, but man, we were on the short end of the stick. Clipper Nation, and I don't like that term, Clipper Nation, and I talked to Eric Patton about it later on in the show. And we also talk about rotation, something we mm-hmm. talked about earlier on
yeah.
the show, and Eric,
and Eric
addresses
is,
it.
As you know, wrote for Clippers.com, big, you know, friend and family of Clipper
the Clipper
Nation.
Crew, the Clipper, the Clipper world loves this guy, and they should. He's great.
Yeah.
But he left Clippers.com and left the team, and now we got him back.
We got him back.
Should we play the interview?
Let's do it.
So, Eric, first of all, welcome back to Clipper Nation.
Thank you. It's been a while. It's been about a year and a half at this point, I guess.
Too long. Too long. So what has impressed you with the Clippers so far this season? What do the Clippers need to work on?
Well, I think I speak for everybody, and I don't need numbers to prove it, that Blake Griffin's been not only the most impressive thing about the Clippers, but probably the most impressive thing in the league, short of reigning MVP Steph Curry. The things that Blake's doing differently aren't really anything that stand out. It's just he's doing everything so much better. We knew he was a great ball handler. We knew he was a great passer. He's doing them things in a refined way that I don't think we've really ever seen from a guy his size, his athleticism before.
Do you think finishing at the end of the game, is that the next step to kind of put the cherry on top?
Perhaps. And you know what? It's funny. 2 years ago, the first year Doc was here, that was a point of emphasis, and Doc talked about that privately a lot, like that they wanted to get Blake an opportunity to finish games, and we saw that. Off the top of my head, I don't remember specific games, but we saw that more. And it seemed like last year, I don't know if it was because of the injury or whatnot, it was maybe a regression in that way. But yeah, absolutely, I think finishing games and being the go-to guy, not having the ball in a guy's like Jamal's hands or even Chris's hands and putting it in Blake's hands down low where there's a pronounced mismatch, that's the next step for sure.
What does Blake have to do to get the MVP? Does he have to be right there with the scoring title? Is there something he needs to do to steal the MVP away from a guy like Steph Curry?
Well, if you think about when Dirk won, they had the best record in the league in the West. And I think, you know, Steph won it with the best record in the league last year in the West. Short of having a numbers year like LeBron has had when he's won, I think Blake's got to have the second or first best record in the league. That's really what's going to do it, because he can't do anything more numbers-wise. Really, think about it. The all-around numbers, I'll never forget the first year Bob Tate was with the Clippers. He told a couple of us, hey, listen, this guy's shot is going to come around. He's going to be like LeBron James. And we're seeing that. Honestly, we could have a conversation, put the numbers next to each other, and just put the physical specimen and the way they can control the game in all aspects, even a little bit defensively now with Blake. They're very similar. But until they have the first or second best record in the league and really appear dominant, where we're not asking these questions like, hey, can the Clippers beat elite teams? That's when Blake wins the MVP.
And that's what the Clippers need to do to get further than they've ever gotten. They need that good record.
One thing about Blake, he probably would have won it last year, is the All-Star MVP. Last year, if they wouldn't have blown the lead, he probably gets that award.
Yep.
But I really feel like he has a legitimate shot of winning that over the regular MVP because of Steph this year.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I'll never forget being there firsthand in New Orleans when Kevin Durant and Blake were kind of going back and forth with one of the most phenomenal all-star scoring games you've ever seen. And Blake, I think, had 9 dunks in the first half. And the way he can be such a showman, which we kind of forget now in the regular season because of the perimeter game and sort of just letting the game come to him in a different way. But the All-Star game, like you said,
That
is his opportunity to go back to like 2010 Blake and really put on a show as that physical specimen. And you're right, he can win the All-Star game MVP like 5 times.
I know. Now, what do you think going forward with Blake? Do you think hitting it inside is something he needs to do a little bit more?
Maybe. But early this year, I think one of the biggest things is he hasn't taken the jump shots in the same frequency that he did last year. If you look at the numbers, he's putting the ball on the floor, presenting mismatches. I mean, we saw against Golden State, how many times did he get a guy like Festus Ezeli on him and beat him off the dribble and get to the basket, or make a spin move and hit that bank shot that looks like Karl Malone and Tim Duncan had a baby. Really,
what would that be named?
You're the name genius here.
What would that be?
Apparently not the name genius for Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce doesn't like your wacky names, Jack.
All right, so
what do the Clippers have to do to get ahead of a team like the Spurs, who have a better record than them right now?
They've got to figure out the rotation. I drove here from Arizona to come to the game, so I had a lot of time to think about this. Honestly, the rotation has been a little bit of a concern. We've seen Lance Stephenson not play at all, or very limited recently, and I think they've got to figure that out. I feel like the 4 days off prior to the Golden State game may have helped a little bit, but at the same time, JJ is still out. But once JJ comes back, man, I just feel like they got to settle on 9 or 10 guys, stick with it, and give those guys minutes that they can count on, and not have this revolving door at small forward, and not trying to figure out who's going to play together at 4 and 5 off the bench. that consistency or lack of consistency from the rotation and especially the bench, that's a big concern right now. Who's the ball handler? You know, can Austin and Jamal play together? I don't know. There's a lot of questions, I think, in that way that maybe we didn't consider when we were forming this team and so excited about some three or four acquisitions.
And that's the same thing that with having Lance on the bench. If you're bringing him on the bench, now you have three guys.
You have these three ISO guys.
Yeah.
You know, and that, to me,
they're all
it
good
doesn't
with the ball,
mesh, right? You know, and even Josh Smith in a lot of ways, like, he's a great big man passer, but he has to have the ball. And so who's the guy who that's the primary ball handler? Who's the real ace offensively? You don't know. And that's why I think they thought Paul coming off the bench might be better. But really kind of Paul's that guy too. You know, like, he's a ball stopper at times in games as well, as far as just backing a guy down and getting that pet shot of his. And again, I can't reiterate it enough. I think they've got to find somebody that's going to be the primary ball handler distributor. And they just got to figure out who those four or five guys they can really count on off the bench are.
Cool.
Now, what do you – you're back now. You're back at Staples Center. What did you miss the most now that you're back here?
Oh, you guys, of course. All the press room banter and those beautiful smiles.
See?
It's us. It's us, fans. All right, so I've been asking this question all season. I don't like the name Clipper Nation because of Red Sox Nation and Raider Nation and everybody's a nation. You got any new ideas for us, Eric Patton?
Oh, my gosh. You guys want to talk basketball? You put me on the spot. I'm cool. This is incredibly a lot of pressure.
I like Clipper Crew because it's a ship.
Clipper alliteration.
World, bigger than just a nation.
Bigger Clipper than vessel? A nation.
Clipper Vessel I don't like.
Ah.
No, that's weird.
What do you got? You like any of those or you got something else?
I like Clipper Crew. Right now, I'm going to stick with
that. You get a vote.
There you go.
Still, your vote in the pools is not winning.
No,
it's still Clipper Nation.
I got Patton. I'm doing something right.
I will think about it, and I'll put that analytical mind to work.
we'll patent that Clippers name.
Well, will you? Well, I had a column the last year with the Clippers that Mike Smith coined called Patent Pending.
Patent pending.
And so it just takes a little while, and I'll come up with the name, even if I have to steal it from Mike Smith.
All right, good. You can steal one of his 27 kids. He's got enough to go around. All right, that was Eric Patton. Have a safe drive back to Arizona tonight.
Thanks, guys. I always appreciate the time.
You're the man. Thank you.
So right now, Jag, is it a two-man race for MVP? I know it's early. Or is it a three-man race for MVP between Steph Curry, Blake Griffin, and Russell Westbrook?
It's a one-man race right now.
Between Steph Curry.
Yeah. I mean, I love Blake Griffin, and he is playing like an MVP, but he's 0-2 against Steph Curry. Steph Curry has an undefeated team.
Yeah.
One of the things Blake still needs to clean up is the execution at the end of games.
Is Blake playing better than LeBron right now?
Yes. He's playing at an unbelievable level.
Right.
It's just like that. There's one thing missing, and it's closing at the end of games.
Yeah.
There were a couple instances in this game that he fumbled around,
right.
Put up, you know, ill-afforded shots that you can't take.
You got to make.
They were circus shots.
Yeah, he wanted to get the foul, and he never gets those calls, ever.
And that's
not going to change.
And that's something he and Chris, you know, need to figure out. Is it the two-man game? You know, where do these players have to be at the end of the games? Because the Warriors showed they know how to get to the open spot.
Right.
And they know how to shoot the dagger.
Well, Steph Curry is possibly the greatest shooter ever play game.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even need to get to the open spot. He just needs tiny inch.
Just give him a crease.
A millimeter.
Yeah.
It's crazy to see him be able to shoot it and make nutty, nutty shots.
No, it's absolutely amazing. And listen, you know, being a Clipper fan, I'm not a big Steph Curry fan, but you got to respect this guy. Oh, I mean, this is a whole other level. It's a whole other level.
He's so annoying, Jack.
It's a whole other level.
He's a great shooter, but he's also annoying. We didn't talk about the game that we won on Saturday afternoon. Picasso came out big, and Blake came out huge when we didn't have JJ and we didn't have Chris Paul, and those guys combined Blake and Jamal for 71, and Jamal Crawford had some crazy thing, like stat line where it was like 37-8-6, and nobody had gotten that
since Larry Bird. Right?
Since Larry Bird, and Larry Bird was actually younger when he did it.
That's amazing.
So, like, Crawford and Larry Bird in, you know, the same category, and that guy is a beautiful scorer. I don't know if he's a great shooter, but he's a perfect scorer at times in spurts.
No, we love Picasso.
He's one of my favorites.
Again, that's the problem. There are going to be times that liability-wise, you know, it's going to happen.
Well, here's the thing. Doc, you know, in Doc we trust. We always say in Doc we trust. And Doc clearly trusts Jamal Crawford and Paul Pierce. He said, we've heard him say multiple times, Jamal Crawford's never in a shooting slump, ever. He can miss seven in a row. He's always just one shot away from getting hot.
Yeah.
And Doc loves that about him and Paul. Exactly. Pierce.
Well, Paul Pierce is clutch. He's, you know, he's the truth.
Right.
And you know that he can hit that shot at any moment when you need it.
Which is, like, why you really can't argue with Doc. No. Why you got to put Paul Pierce in late, right?
Yeah, you do.
You got to put a Jamal Crawford late.
Yeah. No, it's just
tricky. It's tricky it and really sticky is. Here it, in Clippertown.
Yeah, you're just wondering what's going to happen next.
I'm tossing a lot of ones out there. Clippertown, Clipper World, Clipper Crew, Clip City, Clip Familia.
I mean, the Clips could be the Rockets. I mean, they got rid of Kevin McHale.
That's crazy.
So, you know, I mean.
They get to the Western Conference Finals.
And their coach is gone.
And then their coach is gone 15 games into the season, less than 15 games into the season. After, like, that's, James Harden is a punk.
Well, yeah, but it just shows you, again, Daryl Morey, their GM, is a big analytics guy. So just because you have great numbers doesn't mean you know what the players are going to be. But it's amazing that 6 months ago, they're there.
Yeah.
They were four wins away from...
Absolutely.
They're three wins away from going to the finals.
That's right.
And then you have this. It's just...
It's crazy.
But it just shows you the West.
And Coach Luke Walton is undefeated.
Yes. Coach Luke Walton's going to get a fat deal somewhere.
Yeah.
It could be a Laker.
Absolutely.
The next Laker coach.
Well... The Clips are 6-5 going into Portland. Gotta win. It's not a must win, Jack. It's too early for a must win, but we gotta win.
Well, we have to think that we've said that you gotta get that number one seed or you gotta get that number two seed. The Spurs only have two losses.
That's right. And the number one is clearly out of our reach right now.
No, yeah. It's the same thing that happened last year, yeah. But they're on another level.
We have not seen the Spurs yet.
No.
They're just like holding them.
And we see the Spurs on the road. With back-to-backs with the Rockets twice this year.
Gooch.
Yeah. And then we only have one
playing pretty good in San Antonio of late, as we know, in the postseason as well as the regular season. So I like us in San Antonio. That being said, we haven't seen the Spurs. And the Spurs, we don't want the Spurs to be out of our reach. We don't want to be clumped and lumped in with these 500 teams. And I was shocked the other day when I looked at the NBA standings and saw 11 Eastern Conference teams at one point playing 500 or better basketball. There were 20 teams in the league playing 500 or better basketball, which is a testament to how stinky those bottom teams are.
Yeah.
But we cannot get in that clump.
No, we can't get in that clump.
500.
No.
Have to get up there in the top three teams. And honestly, I keep saying this.
Top
three
two.
Is not enough. It has to be two.
We've seen three the last 2 years. Hasn't been enough.
In the Chris Paul years, we finished five, then four, then three, then three. And none of those years have we gotten out of the second round.
No.
We need to finish it, too.
So,
I'm already putting one kind of out of reach, Jack.
It's out of reach.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to be realistic.
Warriors are playing out of their heads.
This team, you know, could they challenge the 95-96 Bulls? I don't know. Possibly.
I say no.
Possibly.
I say no. It's a different league.
Yeah.
Absolutely different league.
But again, this is an 82 game. I mean, Doc has brought it up to us before about his Celtics team.
Right.
So.
And then all of a sudden Garnett goes down.
Yeah. It's an 82 game season.
A lot can happen.
A lot can happen.
I want that two slot.
I do too.
Clipper family.
I do too. Two.
Clip set.
Get it? Clip set.
We gotta win. I'm too upset not to win in Portland. I know we covered the spread to all you degenerate gamblers out there.
That Chris Paul. Just put it in.
Just did it. All right, Jack. So, look, I'm just depressed. Can we sound the horn?
No, wait. I've got something.
What do you have, Jack?
I had a chance to sit down with Cole Aldrich.
No. I say sound the horn.
Cole Aldrich.
Sound the horn.
Cole Aldrich.
So, Cole, how would you assess the team right now?
No, I think we're still kind of figuring out everything. You know, only 10 games in, but, you know, we played some really good basketball, and, you know, I see us continue to get better.
How is this team, you guys lost 4 or 5, getting back into the gym, did that help you guys?
It did. I mean, anytime you can get time to get back in the gym is always going to help you. You know, just working on timing and all that through our plays. And you know, just getting back on the court is always fun, you know, competing with these guys and, you know, kind of gets a little time to take a little break, but also work on some things.
Now, defensively, you guys had some lapses. There were actually 11 consecutive quarters that teams scored 25 or more. How important is it to get clanked down on that defense?
It's huge for us, you know, just to hold teams under 25 and hold them under 100. You know, and if we can score over 100, you know, we're going to have a good chance of winning a lot of games. And I think the big thing is just continue to work and find ways that we can get better and keep on moving throughout the year.
Just playing the Warriors, is it just another game? I mean, there's something more there, right?
I mean, there is, but at the other end of it, you know, it's a rivalry. It's a big game for us because, you know, same division and conference and all that. But at the end of the day, it's still November. You know, and we still have to take the same approach today in our game than we do when we would in April and going into the playoffs.
And coming off that first loss to them, did you take, I mean, no loss is a, you know, moral victory, but did you take anything away from that could help you guys?
You know, I think the big thing for us was that game was, you know, we got down quite a bit and, you know, we just stuck together and kept on fighting and chipped away. We got the lead for a little bit, and then, you know, we lost it towards the end. But, you know, you always want to, you know, learn from wins because it's easier. But, you know, you also learn from your losses. And, you know, we learned that, you know, we can get better, and we just stay together, and good things will happen.
And the team's dealt with a lot of injuries. Can that kind of help some of you guys kind of find their spots at times?
You know, with the injuries, it's going to happen. I mean, we have JJ and Chris was out a little bit here or there, but, you know, just continue to work. No matter who's on the floor, just have that good defensive presence and move the ball offensively.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah.